Greetings in the name of our Lord. This is the Called Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Today we shall consider the testimony of John the Baptist. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you will grant your divine illumination on thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is from John chapter 1, 19 through 34, but rather than me reading this long passage to you, let me just give you the first two verses of this segment. It says, "And this is a record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Now remember, John the Apostle, the author of this gospel, is trying to prove as much as it can be proved that Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, John begins his gospel with these grand words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, dear ones, that's a great theme throughout the whole book, throughout this whole gospel of John, that Jesus is God. Then John ends this section here of attempting to prove that Jesus is God and the Son of God with verse 34, which reads, quoting John the Baptist, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So I'll say it again in this first chapter of John, and in these first 34 verses, John focuses in on proving the divinity of Jesus. The first words were, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the last verse of this section is the testimony of John: "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." If you get this, that Jesus is the Son of God, you can see that the rest of this gospel is nothing but commentary on that great truth. I mean, a wonderful commentary at that. If you don't get it, that Jesus is God and the Son of God, the rest of the gospel makes no sense. There are many religions today who believe that Jesus Christ is a prophet, and they put Jesus on the same shelf with other great ones. They put an image of Jesus on the same shelf with other gods they worship or revere, and they think that this ought to make us Christians happy. Well, it does not make us happy. The only way we Christians are happy is if Jesus is acknowledged to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. As much as we're trying to appreciate other religions making some place for Jesus, if you read the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament, it will fall apart if Jesus is not acknowledged as the Son of God. Without the divinity of Jesus, the crucifixion becomes absolutely meaningless. Without the divinity of Jesus, the resurrection would never have occurred, and Christ would still be in the grave. There would have been no ascension. There would be no second coming of Jesus. And there would be no ultimate triumphant reign of the Lord Jesus on a new heaven and in a new earth. Without the divinity of Jesus, we would still be lost in hell-bound sinners. Christianity makes no sense without Christ being the Son of God. The heart of Christianity is Jesus is God. Jesus is one with God. Jesus is equal with God. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Now, having said all that, let me divert our attention just a little bit to a personal experience. I became a Christian in 1952 while visiting my Jewish grandfather in England, who escaped the Holocaust. Our family was born and raised in Germany, in Nazi Germany and post-World War II Germany. And during the Holocaust, my grandfather escaped to England. So after the war, at 16 years of age, I visited him, and then while I was in England, I let Jesus come into my heart. After I came back to Germany, I finished high school, and then also at 16, I became a machinist apprentice, and I worked in a factory 5 days and went to trade school 1 day. One day, in trade school, my professor said to the class, "Now, Herr Schulze, you're the only Christian in the classroom. Would you be willing to give us a proof of the divinity of Jesus come next week. Well, dear ones, I was absolutely shocked. But I complied, and so I gave myself to 1 week of extra serious prayer. And then I came before the class with my presentation, and this is what I did to prove the divinity of Jesus. I said, if you would ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, then you would have the proof that Jesus is God. Because if Jesus would not be alive and you ask him to come in, if he would not be alive today, then you would not experience his divine presence in your heart. You couldn't after you ask him to come in to your life. And then I gave them Revelation 3:20, which says, Jesus speaking, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. You see, the divine presence of Jesus in the hearts of millions of believers is the greatest proof of the divinity of Jesus. I said to the class, now that's what you need to do. You need to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins, and ask him to come into your life, and then you will know that Jesus is God. The professor said, you've given us something to ponder about. Well, little did I know, dear ones, that many years after, I would preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to thousands of millions of people on radio all over the world, proving to them the best I can from the Gospel of John that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God. Now, coming back to the Gospel of John, here in this segment before us, it says, and this is a record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. While John the Baptist was baptizing people at the river Jordan unto a baptism of repentance, while all the Jews, it says, from Judea came to be baptized through his mighty drawing of the Holy Spirit, some of the Pharisees sent messengers, Levites, and priests to nail down the identity of John the Baptist. While the common people repented of their sins, some of the religious leaders began an investigation as to the character who did the baptizing. So then let's look at this investigative process of the Pharisees' messengers. So we're going back to verse 19. They ask him, who are you? And it says in verse 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he says, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Notice the Pharisees considered three possible options of who John the Baptist could be. The one was a possibility that he could be Christ who was yet to come, they thought. The other was the possibility that he could be Elijah, and the third possibility is that they believed that it could be that prophet. Well, John said, I'm not the Christ. He said, I'm not Elijah. And then he said, I'm not that prophet. And dear ones, we can't really go on unless we find out who that prophet is that the Pharisees were referring to. Well, the answer to this question is in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, and this is what it says there. Quote, I will raise them up a prophet, prophet here with a capital P, from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now this is a passage the Pharisees were referring to. Someday they believed this prophet, or they call him that prophet, would come back to earth, and they associated the coming of that prophet with the coming of the Messiah. What the Jews really believed in those days is that that prophet referred to in Deuteronomy was the prophet Jeremiah, because he was the one who hid the pot of manna and the Ark of the Covenant when the Babylonians came to destroy the temple. They believed that with the coming of the Messiah, all the prophets would rise from the dead and preach again. And of course, they needed Jeremiah to bring back this pot of manna, and they needed the Ark of the Covenant. So this is why they were wondering if John the Baptist was that prophet. Of course, they were wrong, and Stephen, the first martyr and one of the first deacons of the church, was right, because Stephen said in his sermon in the book of Acts 3:22 that this prophet is Jesus. Quoting now from that passage, it says, "For Moses," Stephen speaking, "for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Oh, my friends, the Pharisees had it wrong about, quote, that, unquote, prophet, and Stephen had it right, because Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and the Pharisees were not. Now then, the Levites and priests, having asked John the Baptist whether he was Christ or Elijah or Jeremiah, they were exhausted. Who else could it be then? And so in their frustration, they said, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that send us? What sayest thou of thyself?" Then John the Baptist identified himself as a man coming out of the pages of the book of Isaiah. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as said the prophet Isaiah. Well, hallelujah. John said, "Yes, I'll tell you who I am. You can find me in the Old Testament. You can find me in prophecy. You can find me in Isaiah. You can find me in chapter 40. You can find me in verse 3 of that chapter." Glory, glory. 750 years before John the Baptist stepped onto the scene of history, Isaiah said under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that God would raise up such a man just before the Messiah would come, and that he would prepare the way for this Messiah, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Oh, the Pharisees, with all their studies of Scripture, missed option number 4. Now, dear ones, let me close with this note here. This John the Baptist, coming out of the pages of the prophet Isaiah, comes and he says, "I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God." So you heard it from John the Apostle that Jesus is God the Son. You heard it from John the Baptist that Jesus is God the Son. And you hear it from millions of believers today, and you have heard it from millions of believers throughout the centuries, who have Jesus in their hearts, that Jesus is God the Son. My friend, let me ask you, will you believe now that Jesus is alive today, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, ready to enter into your heart to change your life forever? Let us pray. Father, we pray now that you will touch every listener to the radio program, that you will do a divine work of revelation of these great truths which I just declared, thy great truth of Jesus being the Word, being the Son of God, being equal with God, being the Savior of the world. We ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen. Well, dear ones, we'll stop here. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same station, and goodbye until then. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.